couldn't walk, you carried me. When I couldn't speak, you knew what I needed. When I couldn't sleep, you stayed up with me. When I needed you most, you were there for me. When I couldn't read, you taught me. When I needed help, you prayed for me. When I couldn't see, you showed me the way. So I want to say, thank you. A mother is a hero, a leader and a teacher, a protector and provider, a gift from God above. A mother is a mentor, a hard worker and a faithful friend, a role model and a world changer, a picture of God's love. So we honor the mothers today for their courage and kindness, for their strength and gentleness, for their fortitude and tenderness. So for all you are and all you've done, we remember you and we thank you today. Happy Mother's Day.
If we could have a lots up moment, I want to ask all of our moms that are here today, would you mind just standing for a moment so that we can just properly acknowledge you? And just don't just remain standing a moment, because I also want to have a word of prayer with you. Church, would you join me in just expressing your gratitude and gratefulness to all these mothers? And while you remain standing, if those of you who are seated with me would just be in agreement, let's pray. Father, thank you for the women of God that are here this morning, all these precious sisters. Thank you, Lord, for every woman here that's a mother. Thank you for the love, the sacrifice, the time, the commitment, the trials, the struggles, the heartaches, the tears. Thank you for each and every way, Lord, they have touched the lives of their children and touched all of our lives. And we just ask you, Father God, pour out blessing on them. Strengthen them. Encourage them. Lord, I would ask if there's a mom standing in this room right now that has children that are away from you, we are agreeing with that mother right now for her prodigal to come home. We pray that your Holy Spirit would move upon them powerfully, that they would be drawn back to their Heavenly Father. You created them for you, Father. And Lord, for any mother standing in this room right now that has an unspoken struggle, I ask that you would be her strength today. I ask through your Spirit, you would give her a divine enablement of grace, that she would experience victory and breakthrough for her struggle. Perhaps there's someone here standing, Lord, that their child's no longer among us. They passed on. Oh, Father God, put your loving arms of love around that mother, those mothers right now. Encourage them. Comfort them. And I pray, Father, for any mother standing in our midst right now that feels alone, ignored, forgotten, I pray that call would come through today. I pray that hug would find them today. I pray that somehow heaven's kiss would land upon them and they would know that you have blessed them this day. So we speak blessing over you, mothers, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now let's all thank God for that. You may be seated. Amen. Thank God for mama. The older I get, the more I realize that we aren't as grateful to our mamas as we ought to be. Many of you are aware that six months ago tomorrow that my mom went home to be with Jesus. She was 89 years old. God blessed her with a long life. And I had a wonderful mama. I miss her. I was going through some pictures yesterday and had a moment. That kind of comes and goes. But I am so grateful that I can have the assurance in my heart this morning that this separation that I have from her right now is just temporary. Because as I was sharing earlier, she trusted in Jesus. I want to take you on a little trip down memory lane. I'm kind of honoring my mom in this way today, but I want you to use it as a footpath for you today as well. My mom, when she was young, that picture you see there to your right, she was about 7 years old in that photo. It was about that time in her life when she said yes to Jesus Christ, made him Lord of her life, became a member of Little Methodist Church down in Glen Allen, Alabama, and was baptized. That middle picture at the top, that was my mom in her 20s. She was 23 years old when she gave birth to me. That was in the 1950s that picture was taken. And then on the far right, I'm backwards up here, I apologize for that. To your far right, that's my dad and mom. She's all frillied out. Why? Because it's the third Sunday in May. It was Decoration Sunday at the church we grew up in. And so everybody was frillied out on that day. And that's my sister, who is 4 years my senior, in her cute little dress there. My sister, 2 months before my mom died, my sister passed away. It's been about 8 months ago now. And so my dad, my sister, and my mom, they're all now with Jesus. And that little guy there with my dad, that's me standing before you now. After all these years, I was close to 4 years old when that picture was taken. Now, just to get a giggle out of you, I did want to show you our teenage years as a family. And there we are. That was about 1975, and my dad and I both had on enough polyester to start a huge fire. If we could just get a spark. You can't see my bell-bottom polyester pants and my platform shoes, but they're there, I assure you. But anyway, that's my little family, and I'm the only one left of my what we call our nuclear family. But I'm so grateful to my Heavenly Father for my earthly family. And I'm also very grateful this morning for my spiritual family. I look out and there's a few ladies in this room right now that have been like spiritual mamas to me in a very real way. And I mean that as in a very real way, that have kind of filled the gap and yanked my chain when it needed yanking and encouraged me when I needed encouraging. And I'm grateful to you spiritual moms in the room as well. Mother's Day can be tough a lot of times for a lot of mothers for different reasons. And I'm aware of that this morning. Some of you, your mom's gone on like my mom has. And maybe it's a little bit of sadness for you today. There's some of you, maybe things aren't as they need to be with your mom right now. You know there's a gap there that shouldn't be there. There's some of you that are a mother, but you've lost a child. It could have been by a stillbirth, even abortion, or a loss of a child later in life. And there's a grief there. And there are others that are not mothers, but you've wanted to be and haven't been able to become a mom. And there's all kinds of emotions attached with all the aforementioned. But what gives me solace and encouragement is Holy Spirit is an expert. of knowing who you are, where you are, and what you need this morning. And I'm going to pray as we kind of skip across a few things that's on my heart this morning, that the Holy Spirit will take something from God's Word, something that's been breathed on from God in some way, and bless you today. Because it's a good day. Today's the day the Lord's made. And He's got something good for you today. I love this scripture out of Proverbs 31. I'm not going to take time to read the whole chapter of Proverbs 31, but we're told here about the virtuous woman. This woman was a hard-working woman. Godly character. I'm going to give you a quick bullet list in a moment of everything that's kind of mentioned in Proverbs 31, but I wanted to read these verses in particular for you. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Why do mothers matter? Besides the obvious fact, you and I wouldn't be here without a mother. Kind of a necessary component, right? But God created mothers to be nurturers, life givers. Notice Genesis 3:20, where we're introduced to the word mother here. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And without camping out here too long, let me say this. God created Adam out of the dust of the ground. The first human being ever created, his name was Adam, dirt man, from dust. And then the Bible says, God told him, it is not good for you to be alone. I mean, he'd hung out with the hippopotamus, the giraffe, the elephant, the zebra. And I mean, those were lovely creatures, but God had something better for him. And so he caused a great sleep to fall upon Adam, and the Lord reached into Adam's side, took out a rib, and created a woman, a man with a womb, a human being with a womb, a human being biologically made different than the male, in whom God would be able to continue his creative activity. Now, why do I say it that way? God would use the seed inside the man, connecting with one of the eggs inside of the woman. They would conceive, and a child would begin to develop. Why would I say it's the continuation of the creative activity of God? Well, in Psalm 139, the psalmist declared, "You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. You fashioned my days. In your book, all my members are written." And a lot of other good information's in there. And I mentioned this a few Sundays ago in a series, but God was very involved in you becoming you. And so the male was created and the female was created, and you've heard me, many of you have heard me teach this. For those of you who have not, microwave version, Adam had a relationship with God. He opened his eyes and saw God. First face he ever saw was God. First voice he ever heard was God. The first emotion he ever felt was love, because God is love. And he stood up a man full of the Holy Spirit and had fellowship with God. But when God created the woman from the rib in his side, the Bible says that God created a woman and brought her to the man. So just as Adam had a relationship with God before Eve was ever created, Eve also, after she was created, met God. Then God brought her to Adam. And the first family, the first marriage, was God, a man who knows God and a woman who knows God are led together by the God whom they know. And that's marriage. Family is God's idea. Motherhood is God's idea. It's precious. It's wonderful. It is awesome.
And unfortunately, because of the curse, I've been told, I've heard some rumors, it's rather painful. So mothers are life givers and nurturers. This is God's design, God's plan. And I want to talk a moment about the unseen things that mothers do, because I ran across this research, and it's a grievous thing to realize this. 85% of moms say they feel unseen and undervalued despite pouring themselves out daily. Say, man, I want you to say this with me. My pastor, our preacher, is about to step on my toes. Just wanted to pray for it. Why would almost 9 out of 10 mothers feel undervalued, underappreciated, basically feel invisible and ignored? Because, you know, when you're really walking with Christ, one thing for sure, He wants you to know you belong to Him. We're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. So we need to do a better job of appreciating them.
Amen, preacher.
Okay, I feel like I'm not getting breakthrough here. Let me illustrate it. Seriously, Mickey. You are an amazing mother. Now, you weren't in here in the early service, and I bragged on you, just to say. I have watched you across all these years, over 40 years as a mother now, sacrificially give yourself. Most of the time, you choose to be the last in line, the last one served. I see you every morning with your Bible open and pray with you most every morning. And our children's names are always brought before the Lord. I've seen you model what a godly woman looks like. And I am so proud of you as a mother. And Andrew, you got something? You stand up and say something. I'm not going to do that to you, Elliot, because we got to move on. So you.
All right, well, I'll just echo what Dad said. I'm so grateful for your leadership in my life and to have you as a mother and all the ways that you've loved me. And I have so many memories even of you coming to eat with me at lunch at elementary school and things like that all through the years. And I've always felt love and love you.
Amen. Thank you, son, for being instant in season. Sometime today, express your heart to your mama. Thank God for mama. Thank God for mama. And thank mama for mama. All right. I'll change gears. I want to bust 5 mother myths. Okay? First one is this. Stay-at-home moms don't work. Apparently, some fool has uttered that. Can you imagine? I mean, you know, I know, listen, a stay-at-home mom, that's wonderful. I think most people want a situation where mom can stay home with kids. That is awesome. But that doesn't mean they're not working. Doesn't mean they're not working. I read a study where someone calculated everything a mother does. Now, this is not just stay-at-home moms, which, you know, a lot of moms at home educate. That's a whole other thing. A lot of you work because you have to, you need to. But I read a study that said if you totaled up the number of hours that a mother puts in just for family stuff, it could be as high as 94 hours.
And the average salary should be, if you count her being a chauffeur, an administrator, a chef, a counselor, sometimes a first aid person, you know, on, that the salary would equate to about $184,800 a year. That's a myth. They often work double the hours of a full-time employee. Second myth. If a mom is struggling, she must be failing. Now, 85% saying, I feel ignored, undervalued, not appreciated, and so forth, that gives you a window into the emotional makeup of their soul, what's going on inside of them, their struggle. And the enemy comes along and basically says, you shouldn't feel this way. You're just a failure. You're just a failure. And he'll bring all kinds of things across the screen of your mind as evidence as to why you fail as a mother. You know, well, my kid's away from the Lord, or my kid, how could I do this? If I was raising them right, that wouldn't happen. May I remind you that Adam was perfect and Eve was perfect and their heavenly Father was and still is perfect, but yet Adam and Eve still sinned? An enemy wants to make you think if you'd been a better parent. Now, is it a good thing to be a better parent? Absolutely. It's better to be a better parent than a good parent, right? I mean, we should always endeavor to be better, but the enemy, see, wants to shut you down so that maybe you can't improve or make things right or see the truth. You're doing the best you can in the middle of the situation you're in. God is for you, not against you. The devil accuses you. He wants to debilitate you. He wants to turn you away from God. The Holy Spirit's going to be working to turn you toward God so you can get the grace and everything you need to live in the victory. If a mom's struggling, she must be failing. That is false. Struggle is part of sacrificial love. It's not failure. Life is hard. Sometimes multiple things happen and have a collision right there in your own home. And it's more than you can handle, and you do the best that you can do. And the enemy wants to show up and make a baseball bat out of those circumstances and just beat you on down. Another myth. Good moms never get tired or frustrated. Revelation time, none of us had or have a perfect mother. And no mother except one has ever had a perfect child. And that was the Christ child. No perfect moms. So, there's this idea that we can construct in our mind just how a mother should function, how everything should be neat and tidy, but sometimes life is just plain messy, and you do the best that you can. But a God of grace is always there for you to call upon. As a matter of fact, He knows you're going to have needs, or else it makes no sense for Him to invite you to His throne room of to get grace and mercy to help you in your time of need. But if you got everything together, you don't have any needs. Well, why a throne room of grace and mercy for you to go and get in your time of need? Sometimes our mindsets can get off. God wants us to live knowing we need Him every moment. We need His grace every day. And so, do you sometimes get frustrated in sinful ways? Yes, and don't need to do that. But when you do it, confess it, repent of it, ask for grace, and then the next step can be a better step. So that's false to think that you never get tired or frustrated. Even Jesus got tired. One of my devotionals in the last week or so out of Mark 4 was in the middle of a storm. He's so tired, he's asleep in the boat. And the disciples are fearing for their life, and he's snoozing. Got his head on a pillow up in the stern of the boat. Moms need grace, not guilt. And sometimes maybe you need to give yourself permission to not be perfect since you're not perfect. Now, we're all perfect in Christ. We're righteous. But sanctification means that the manifestation of who we are in Christ hadn't made it all the way through yet. In our thinking, in our behavior, in our soul, and so forth. Another myth, you can have it all flawlessly. If you do it right, that's not true either. All through the Scripture, very godly people standing on the promises, moving in power, still had to deal with tough stuff. And most of them had to get up and dust themselves off, some more times than others. But that's the idea of this flawlessness. And don't put that kind of expectation on yourself. You be the best you that you can be. Don't get into, like Ray and I were talking about last week, one of the problems is the comparison and competing with one another. Oh, if I could just be a mother like so-and-so. You be the mom God created you to be. The Scripture's there. The Holy Spirit's there. The promises are there. Be a godly mom. Proverbs 31, read that. So it's false that you can have it all flawlessly. Life is about balance. You know, there's a straight and narrow way, but there's a ditch on both sides. And for most of us, it's not like, it's more like, right? And hopefully, if you're looking at a chart this way, it's like you're going to have some peaks and valleys, but over time, you're moving up. There's an obedience and a long obedience in the same direction. Edwards wrote a book about that. Or was it Eugene Peterson? Yeah. A long obedience in the same direction. That's the Christian life. The fifth myth, you lose yourself in motherhood. This is one of the modern myths. Well, you get kids, get them raised, get them out. Then you can discover what you're to do. There's no greater treasure you'll have than your children. Nothing's more valuable than that, to raise your children well. That's so important. Don't buy this lie that you can just get lost as to who you are by being a mother, as if some way there's a competition between who you're created to be and taking a break over here and have some kids. No! It's God's plan for us. Very, very important. It's part of the original mandate to be fruitful and to multiply. One of the greatest partnerships we have with God is when we have children and raise them in a nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is a false idea. You often find your deeper purpose in being a mother. So I encourage you, women today, you know, this is so very valuable. Now, some quick encouragements in order to build up you who are mothers this morning. Is you need encouragement from others. Now, I've already done some of that, encouraging men to appreciate you, encourage your husband to appreciate you as a mother, but also your children to appreciate you. You need encouragement from others, and sometimes your words may be like a lifeline to your wife who's mothering your children or to your mother who mothers you, regardless of your age. Love them and use words. Don't be like that guy that was in the buggy back in the day and he got married and they got in the buggy and were heading home after the wedding. And he looked there and said, now, I want you to look at me. I love you. And if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. Don't expect to hear it anymore. But I'm sure he meant that. No, it's a commitment. You don't ever have to worry about that. But use words. Don't just grunt. Moan. Use, let me qualify. Use life-giving, grace-filled words. Let your speech be seasoned with grace. Seriously, it could be a lifeline. And particularly if you're talking about women who are mothers, whose love language are words of affirmation. I started just to have everybody turn to your mother or your wife and tell them you love them, but I don't want things to get out of hand here this morning. So. But encouragement from others will build up mothers. Time with God. Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley, said she had 19 children, and her children were trained. You imagine 19 kids running around in the house, what that sounded like. She would throw her apron up over her head, and when she did, all the children knew, quieting down, Mama's praying. So she lived under the apron a lot because she realized prayer matters. Be a praying mother. Pray for yourself that you'll mother with grace. Pray for your children. Pray with your children. Now, through the years, when I'm leading like a child to the Lord, or a parent brings a child up and we're just talking about it, and maybe they've asked their Jesus to come into their hearts and so forth, you know, giving their lives to Christ. I usually try to encourage little children, here's something really important now that you remember the rest of your life, all the days of your life, and I'll try to get down on my knee and hold their hands and look in their eyes and tell them, listen, you can talk to God. That's called prayer. And you can talk to Him about anything, anywhere, at any time, and He'll listen and hear. And you need to learn to be real quiet and listen for Him to talk back to you. And begin reading your Bible, because sometimes He'll talk to you while you're reading your Bible. But that's true, moms. Teach your children how to pray. Pray with them. That can be a lifeline for them their whole life. And teach them that they can pray about the small things. And you need to learn to pray about the life. You don't have to lock yourself. It's good to have times when you lock yourself in a secret place. I'm not saying that's not important. It's very important. But learn to pray as you go, to pray without ceasing, in a sense. In the middle of your frustration, when you feel the thermometer coming up and you're about to mother in a un-Jesus-like way, Lord, give me grace to handle this in a way. My child will know they're loved, but they'll also know they got to do what I'm telling them to do. Time with God. And another one, three, supportive community. Hopefully we have a church culture that way where we value women and value mothers. That's so important. And again, men, we're part of that supportive community. And let me, I know I keep hitting that nail. Help me, Holy Spirit. But when you go back and study what happened when Adam and Eve, the Bible says Eve was first deceived. She was deceived. Then Adam partook of the fruit. Adam sinned with his eyes open. He didn't respond like he should have after his wife had violated the boundary God put in place. He should have became an intercessor between her and the Lord and even offer himself to deal with it. But he didn't. He sinned as well. And if you read on in Genesis 3, what happened was there entered into man as a result of the curse a distrust toward the voice of the woman. I listened to her, ate that fruit. The day of me listening to women, the woman's over. Well, that was in our great, great, many times removed grandfather Adam because of what happened. And so men carry a mistrust toward the voice of women. Stay with me. Now, when Jesus came as the last Adam or the second man, what did he do? Well, like God took a out of the side of the first Adam and created woman, what did God do? He sent his son. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He died on the cross. And when his side was pierced, blood flowed out. Through his shed blood, the church was able to be birthed. The bride of Christ was birthed, as it were, out of the side of the last Adam, Jesus. We're made righteous through his blood, and those who are made righteous by his blood are now his bride. We are the bride of Christ in the earth. And we need to realize this. And so, Jesus died. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Jesus became a curse for us. That's what the Bible says. Say it this way. He died to reverse the curse. Okay? Do we believe the power of Jesus' blood is that powerful that it can break the curse off of us so that we can live a blessed life? Yes, we do. Well, if part of a curse was men looking at women in a way that they don't really trust the counsel or the voice of a woman, if Jesus came to heal us from that, set us free from that, then we should see some restoration in that and how we respond to women. We should honor the voice of the woman. Adam and Eve, they locked arms and they were stewarding together God's creation. Now, Adam is the head by virtue of creation, not because of the fall. He was created first and then the woman. But they both were given dominion to rule and reign together in the earth. So if Jesus came back to restore us, then that means we've got to get rid of these notions of brushing aside the counsel or the voice of a woman. I guarantee you, old Pilate wished he'd have listened to his wife. Well, I just don't know about that. Now, we're pretty, you know, you not to have a woman teaching you, so you don't know. Oh, well, wait a minute. What is prayer? Does prayer really mean anything if it doesn't mean that Jesus listens to his bride? We are to love Christ, our wife as Christ loves the church. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Jesus listens to our prayers. If he doesn't agree with us, he still loves us. And through his word, he'll correct us. And we're to model ourselves after that, husbands. Hearts that are open and ears that are open to our wives. That's so important. But mothers can also be built up not only by people that support them, the community that supports them, but help at home. I'll make this one quick. Grab a mop, grab a vacuum cleaner, get some dirty dishes and put them up clean, make a bed. Well, I do the outside, she does the inside. Well, I understand that works for a lot of people. That just means you mow the grass, but you only have to do that like 4 or 5 months a year. What a deal! Help at home. And I'm not asking men to wear aprons or anything like that, you know, any of that kind of stuff, but help at home. Why? To communicate love and to be supportive. Fathers are part of child rearing too. I mean, learning to change a diaper, most dads have to learn to do that. Surely you did that, didn't you? Surely you helped with that. Hopefully. The last one, faith in her impact. Faith in her impact. Why does this feel? In other words, what you're doing, raising your children and mothering your children and supporting your family, that has a great impact. You can be a billionaire. You can have so many certificates of deposits in banks that you can't find enough banks to put them in. You can have 10,000 Bitcoin. You can have 50,000 acres of land. You can have a garage that's got 10 different colored Lamborghinis in it. You can have all that. You can have multiple carated diamonds for every finger on every hand. You can have all of that. All the world has to offer, and I'm not against blessings. No, don't get me wrong. But you can have all of that, but when it comes time when you leave, you're about to leave this earth with your final breath, you know what's going to really matter to you? There's going to be two major things that matter to you. Number one, are you right with God? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ and you know your sins is forgiven, that when you step out of this realm of existence and you stand before a holy God, He will allow you to enter His heaven because you have trusted His Son, Jesus. Now that's the most important thing. And after that, it's your family. You can't take all that other stuff with you to heaven, but you can take your family with you. You can spend eternity with your family, and you won't want the gold. You're gonna wipe your feet on that in heaven. You're not going to have a need there, but you can still have a wonderful, beautiful relationship. We'll know even as we're known. Well, I just hope that, I don't know, we'll be married in heaven. It would be like the angels. Don't worry about it being something less than the best thing that we have here. You will not be disappointed in how it works when you get there. You will want your kids there. You'll want your spouse there. Yes, impact. Now, my mama recently went home to be the Lord, but here's the thing that really mattered. That's me and her great-grandkids. My four children and her grandchildren aren't in this picture, but this is not even all her great-grandkids. The one has arrived since Mom went home to be with Jesus. But this is just a picture of what matters. This is what really matters. Live your life to impact this. We're to honor our father and mother. It's the only commandment with promise, and that promise is length of days. Think of it this way. If we honor our father and our mother properly, it means we'll have longer to live with our children. Right? And I know accidents happen and all that kind of stuff, but I'm saying this is the basic promise. One final thing as we slide into home here. And again, I encourage you to read Proverbs 31. I'm not going to go through the list I have because I feel led to bring us to a point of conclusion. But I want to talk to you about one other thing. Usually on Mother's Day, you call your mom. If you can't go see her, a lot of people go see her. A lot of you will have lunch with your mom, take your mom out to lunch and things like that today. But I know there has to be people here this is for because it's so strong on my heart right now. Some of you need to forgive your mom. Maybe there's ways that most of us need to forgive our moms. As I mentioned earlier, there are no perfect moms. But let me tell you another strategy of the enemy. And it's amazing how this works. among lost people, saved people, doesn't matter. It works the same way. It's so easy to focus on what mom didn't do. Or what mom, you know, what mom didn't do that she should have done. Or what mom did that she shouldn't have done. And part of our default mechanism because of the curse is to focus on the negative. Because when the curse happened and sin came, something negative, it was so prevalent, it even changed what happened in the ground. I believe there were plants that were had good design and good intention. They become thorns and thistles and created war even in the dirt. And hurt does that to us. And what you don't want to happen is for you to carry a, what I call a bitter root judgment in your life. What's that, Pastor Eddie? What's a bitter root judgment? Like when you think about your father or your mother, or it could be your brother or sister, or even your wife or your husband. It could be anybody. Today's Mother's Day, and we're kind of thinking on that. But don't have a bitter root of judgment in your heart. What's that mean? Like, well, my mom didn't do this for me, but I guarantee you when I have kids, I'm going to make sure I do this. And my mom, she always did this. I'll never do that. When I was growing up, I was thinking, I'll never be this way. I'll never do that. But see, it's based on anger. It's based on offense. It's rooted in bitterness. And so what happens? Because there's a root of bitterness in your life, the root determines the fruit. So what happens with a bitter root of judgment? In other words, okay, you're setting a higher standard. You're not going to be that way. You're not humbling yourself before God and say, God, I forgive my mama. I forgive my daddy. I forgive my husband. It works that way. Lord, I forgive them. Give me grace. I don't want to carry bitterness. And Lord, I don't want to be like that, but I also want them to change. I just speak blessing. I don't want to be held by that. Because what happens is, if you got bitterness and you're making that bitter root judgment and you're trying to be a better parent because you felt like your mother wasn't or your daddy wasn't, and it's just anchored in that, you're going to become just like them. The same fruit's going to manifest. Oh, it may look a little different. It may come across a little different, but it'll have the same impact. What we do has to be done out of love. We don't set our standard out of bitterness, out of anger. We can all make a list, well, you know, of things. Well, have you thought about what their childhood might have looked like? You have some mercy maybe for the context they were in? No, this is plain mean. Well, why were they so mean? And if they were just plain mean, are you breathing? Thank God for that. But just don't be bitter about it because you can't move forward by having a root that's still attached to the past back there. You have to forgive. You have to let that go so that you can move on. Don't allow something that's happened in the past to keep you from what God has for you in the future. Don't do that. You can forgive right now. And if she's still living, you don't have to go and revisit all those little wounds and make her feel bad by telling her how terrible it was that you had to go through that. No, you can just call and say, Mom, I want you to know I've been praying and I don't feel like things have always been right with us, but I love you. I love you. I love you. Get your heart clear. It's amazing what God can do for us, in us, and through us if we'll just take care of what's inside of us. Don't have a bitter root of judgment. Forgive her this morning. I want you to stand with me. Our prayer team members are coming forward right now. They'll be in the altar to pray for any who have needs. And they're going to stand face, and just if you would back up against the benches, because I'm going to, and what I also want to ask is anyone that's carrying something here, and you just need to come and lay it down at one of these altars, you feel free to come up and just kneel and spend 30 seconds or 30 minutes, whatever you need to do, and just come and lay it at the altar. And I would like to ask, and I usually don't do this, but I'd like to ask our family with younger children. In other words, you're still younger in life. I just want to pray a special blessing over all of you this morning. And I'm going to ask the rest of the church to join me in a prayer of faith over your life. And I would just encourage you to come up and just stand. If you got children or little ones with you, just bring them on up. That'll be beautiful. I'm just going to take a couple of minutes to do that. Just come and stand here. Across the room. Thank you. I appreciate you doing this. Any others, just make your way on up. Just come on across over here and I'll just bunch you all up together. Now, you're the group where we realize the children are still being nurtured and formed. So, with a bright future ahead of them. And as many of us up here think, oh, if I was just back at the age that you guys are right now. And if I just knew some of the stuff where you are now, if I knew that back then, all the difference it would have made. Church, look at these couples up here, these families. I charge you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning, take an interest in their welfare. Speak encouragement into their lives. Pray for them. Get to know them. Take a little time to do that. Stretch your hands this way toward them, church. Father God, in the name of Jesus right now, I pray that the Holy Spirit would just hover over the hearts of these fathers and mothers and children in this altar area and for the children that are in the children's area that belong to these. We speak blessings over you today. We pray that the angels of the Lord that the Father sends would just surround your children about. We pray they'd be protected, they'd be blessed. I speak to you fathers, you husbands. Love your wives as Christ loves the church. Raise your children. Speak into your children's life. Be men of God. Model what a praying man looks like. It's not an embarrassing thing for your child to see you on your knees. Teach your children to kneel beside you. Teach them to pray. Open the Bible. Read the Bible with them. I charge you, be godly daddies, godly husbands, mothers, wives. I charge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to love your children with Daddy God's love. And I pray in the name of Jesus that grace would be given you for the demands of motherhood. You have all the onboard equipment God's given you to not only feed your children, but to lead your children, to nurture your children, to be there for your children, to mother your children. I pray that God would give you wisdom for the different stages your children go through, for where they are by their age and what they can learn, what they need to be learning. I just pray that this anointing would be upon you, that your families would be blessed, that your children would rise up and call you godly parents. They would be equipped for the world in which we live today. May they be full of God's Spirit and God's Word. And may you be blessed. I pray that you'd be blessed in your health, blessed in your finances, blessed in your marriage relationship. May you in body, soul, and spirit be one and know the oneness and the blessings and joy of that oneness. In the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you so much for coming up forward. now. The worship team's going to begin to worship. We have prayer team members here to pray with you. Any of you that need prayer, feel free to, and you guys are dismissed, or you're welcome for prayer, whatever you want to do. But this is the time to come forward. Now remember, we have a photo booth back there if you want pictures. And mothers, we have a rose for you out in the commons area. God bless you. We love you. And I'm going to ask Pastor Doc, as our granddaddy pastor, would you just pray over this congregation and dismiss us, Pastor Doc? This altar is open for heaven's business. You just come on up, and we'll be happy to pray with you.
Father, thank you for this awesome word, but thank you for the body gathering. Thank you for the day that we get to honor Mom. Thank you, Lord. We bless you for the mothers in this house. We bless you for those, Lord, that nurtured and took care of those that are here but now are in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we bless you that you are good and that you took up residence in those believing moms that stood the test, that would move when moving was easy. So, Lord, we bless them. We say to each mother, especially this morning, may the Lord Jesus bless you. May he keep you. May he make his face shine on you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. And may the precious Lord Jesus give you peace you cannot explain. In Jesus' name, and all of us men said amen. God bless every one of you.